The artificial intelligence news today ranges from landmark safety research to a lawsuit that raises the most serious possible concerns about generative model deployment. Let's start with the most technically significant item, Anthropic's Graham technique. The paper describes a method for isolating what they call dual-use capabilities, things like detailed virology knowledge or synthesis routes for dangerous chemicals, into discrete, removable modules within the model architecture. The key claim is that these modules can be excised entirely without degrading the model's overall performance on legitimate tasks.
If that capability holds up at scale, Sarah, the implications for AI regulation are significant. One of the core arguments against AI capability restrictions has been that you can't surgically remove dangerous knowledge without making the model dumber overall. It's all connected. Graham, if validated independently, would undermine that argument. It would mean regulators could require model developers to demonstrate that hazardous capability modules have been removed before receiving deployment approval. That's a concrete mechanism, not just aspirational safety language.
Now, OpenAI's GPT 5.6 launch comes with an interesting wrinkle. It followed a U.S. government security review. That framing is new and worth examining. We've had voluntary commitments to pre-release safety testing. We've had NIST frameworks. But a security review, in the government sense, implies some form of official assessment before public release. Whether that's a formal classification process, an export control review, or something at CISA is unclear from the available reporting. But the precedent matters. If the U.S. government has effectively inserted itself into the frontier model release pipeline, that's a structural change in the governance of AI development.
Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 topping Google's revamped Android bench is notable for a few reasons. First, Google updated the benchmark with 8 new models and a harder testing framework. When you harden a benchmark and the previous leader doesn't maintain its position, that tells you something real about relative capability. Second, coding ability, as measured by benchmarks like this, is increasingly the relevant metric for enterprise AI adoption, because most AI revenue currently comes from developer tools and code generation. Anthropic claiming the number one spot there has real commercial implications.
Now we need to talk about the Grok lawsuit, because this is not a theoretical harm scenario. The lawsuit alleges that a parent's child had a single photograph, and from that photograph, Grok generated approximately 7,000 child sexual abuse images. If the factual allegations are accurate, this is a case study in the difference between what an AI system technically can do and what guardrails are supposed to prevent. The question isn't whether Grok was designed to produce this content. It obviously wasn't. The question is why the safety filters failed this catastrophically and at this scale.
From a legal liability standpoint, this case is going to test the outer boundaries of Section 230 protections for AI-generated content. Section 230 has historically shielded platforms from liability for user-generated content, but AI-generated content is not user-generated in the same sense. The platform itself is the generator. Courts have been increasingly skeptical of applying Section 230's broad immunity to AI outputs, and a case involving this category of harm is exactly the kind of fact pattern that will accelerate judicial scrutiny of that question.
The Google SynthID story is the constructive counterpoint to the Grok case. Snopes used SynthID's invisible watermarking system to confirm that a viral image of Senator Mitch McConnell in a hospital bed was AI-generated. That's the first major real-world application of the watermarking technology in a news verification context. SynthID embeds an imperceptible signal into AI-generated images and audio that survives common manipulations like compression and screenshot. The McConnell case is actually a relatively clean demonstration. The image was circulating widely, it was politically sensitive, and the watermark held.
The 2026 World Cup deepfake situation is the same problem at much larger scale. Scammers are using AI-generated videos of players like Kylian Mbappe and Lionel Messi endorsing fake investment platforms, merchandise, and gambling schemes. The World Cup audience is global and spans dozens of languages, which means the fact-checking infrastructure that caught the McConnell image, an English-language outlet using a known tool, simply doesn't scale to protect a Brazilian fan being served a fake Neymar endorsement in Portuguese on a platform with minimal moderation capacity.
The intersection of the Grok lawsuit, the deepfake scams, and Google's SynthID result all point toward the same policy conclusion. The watermarking and detection infrastructure needs to become mandatory and standardized, not a competitive feature offered by one company. If only Google images carry SynthID markers, then scammers simply switch to non-Google generators. Interoperability of watermarking standards is where this needs to go, and right now there's no regulatory mandate driving that.
Amazon's Moonraker project to transform Alexa into a full AI agent fits into the broader picture here. Alexa has been voice search and smart home for years, but Amazon is clearly watching what OpenAI and Anthropic are doing with agent mode capabilities, persistent task execution, multi-step reasoning, acting in the world on the user's behalf, and trying to bring that into their existing hardware install base of roughly 500 million Alexa devices worldwide. The scale advantage Amazon has if Moonraker works is substantial. The safety governance questions that come with a half billion agentic AI systems operating in people's homes are also substantial.